Welcome to another episode of Inside Out, the podcast with me, Giabi. It's always a pleasure to be spending time with you, and I really do not take these moments for granted that you get to a point where you allow me into your space and you allow you and I to have these thought-provoking conversations that I hope leave you feeling a bit more determined and encouraged to have a better relationship with yourself and with the people in your life as well. And today's episode, basically, I am not alone. I actually have decided to ask a young lady to join me in this conversation. Her name is Karen Divine Yamulamba, and she is an author of a book called Above and Beyond. She's absolutely amazing. I met her the first time when I was doing an interview with her at Tux FM for her book launch. And since that moment, we've just stayed in contact. She's one of those people who, when you meet her, it literally feels like you've known her for a lifetime. She has such a pure soul and she's so authentic. And I think that is basically what drew me to her and what kept us together. For this conversation, we discuss some themes in her book, particularly healing from trauma, letting go of the past, as well as, you know, the role of self-awareness in the process of transitioning and of change. And there's so many other important lessons that she shares from her book in this podcast. And I really felt that it was necessary to have this conversation right now, I think particularly because of what has been happening until this point in the world and on social media as well, you know, with so much healing that needs to take place. If you have maybe suffered from whatever trauma that you have encountered in your personal life, I really thought that it's important for us to chat about healing and letting go, as well as the perspective that you have, you know, in order to get the best out of the situations that seem so hopeless and so dull. So I genuinely really hope that you are going to enjoy this conversation and that it will impact your life in the smallest way that it will. But I definitely know that you will take something from this conversation because this young lady is such a well of wisdom. I mean, she is absolutely amazing. And I really hope that you do enjoy the conversation. Let me stop chit-chattering and we're just going to get straight into the conversation. Hi, Divine. How are you?
I am all good. And how are you, Kia?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm really happy that this is finally happening. I think we've been speaking about it, I think, since February or March. But I'm really, really happy to have you be the first guest on my podcast.
It is such an honor to be here. You have no idea. I've been dreaming about this constantly.
Thank you so much. So I'm really just going to get straight into it. In terms of your book, Above and Beyond.
Right.
I revisited a few chapters today. And I'm going to start with what is on the cover. So it says Above and Beyond. And then it says coming out of the common uncommon.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Oh, well, first of all, that subtitle was very hard to find, I tell you, because I had to live it before I could write it. But the reason why it is so personal to me is because we all go through something. We all go through tough times, challenges, and mountains, and that's what I mean by common. Now, how you come out of it is a decision. Some end up victims and some end up victorious. And those who end up victorious are those who choose uncommon paths to do so. Because it's very easy to give up. It's very easy to let life beat you around. But it's very uncommon to choose a road that is less traveled. And that's exactly what I am encouraging my readers, whether it's a man, women, students, elderlies, Like, I want them to know that they can overcome the ordinary, everyday traumatic experiences that we all read about, that we all talk about, but they can come out of it better than what they expected to be.
It's actually interesting because you are leading me straight into a theme that I wanted to explore in your book, which I think is very relevant right now with what is happening on social media and in the world overall. The topic of healing and trauma. Chat to me about that in terms of what you write in the book and some of the lessons that you yourself have encountered. They have been beautifully captured in your book, but just tell me a bit about that from your mom, from the trauma that your mom experienced, and your own personal lessons as well in terms of healing.
So if I were to summarize it all nicely, I would say that healing is a gradual process. It's not something that happens overnight. That is why people can protest, people can be angry, and that's how they are dealing with a bitterness that could turn out differently if they weren't given the opportunity to speak out. So by speaking out, they are allowing their wounds to dry. And this is going to be very common in 2020 because people need the process to kind of speak against all of these injustices that have happened. People need time to heal from the systematic injustices that have been happening. And also they need time to get back into that mindset of, all right, this is what happened, but we don't have to be the generation that continues those patterns. So I think one of the things that I really encourage in my book is to not be hard on oneself, but to heal, to really take the time to heal. Because what happens is, and this is an imagery that I've had for quite some time, it's like a surfer that's been bitten by a shark. You finally get out of the waves, you go on land to calm down and to put a bandage, but you don't go straight back into the water because you're still bleeding. And what will happen is that you will attract the next shark who will finally devour you for good because blood attracts sharks. And it's the same for us who do not really take the time to heal. What happens is we begin to attract a broken lifestyle, attract bad habits that devour us because we haven't allowed ourselves to feel. One of the things that I love about my book, it allows you to feel. It allows you to remember that you are human. And it also allows you to remember that you have a God who can help you in that process, that you're not alone, basically. And that is the healing process is also something that my mother has been through. In that time, she was in it alone, apart from some of the women who surrounded her. So she went through a fertility journey where she miscarried many boys, many baby boys, and she didn't know how to overcome that except through faith. But it took time. It wasn't just after all of those miscarriages that she got up and said, "Now I want to have a baby again." No, it took her time to actually come back to her senses that everything that has happened to me does not make me any less of a woman, does not make me any less of a mother than I already am.
And I want to touch on what you think the importance of self-awareness is in terms of the healing process, and personally what that might look for an individual, because there are people, like you said, we have all endured personal traumas. And what is your take in terms of self-awareness in dealing with trauma and healing, and also some of the things that you can do in terms of, becoming aware of the trauma that you have experienced and the impact that it has on the people in your life. Like you said, when you bleed, it attracts, or when you are hurt, it kind of attracts things that are in line with where you are. So what's your take on that?
The importance of self-awareness for me comes in with acknowledging that there is a problem. Wherever you go, even when you go to the doctors, the first thing that they want you to do is to tell them what's wrong. Now, it's not that they're being unprofessional or they can't read between the lines, but they want you to be able to acknowledge, to be self-aware of what you are going through. And that is the first step to healing, knowing that you need help, that you cannot do this on your own. Every patient needs a surgeon, every learner needs a teacher. So self-awareness is important with regards to realizing what you need in order to get to that place of healing, if you understand what I'm trying to say. And with regards to the practical ways that one can actually find that healing is again with the self-awareness thing. So you first have to be able to identify what is the problem. What is it that is causing bitterness, that is tempting you to feel bitterness inside of your heart? What is it that you have to confront? The above and beyond is all about confronting, taking accountability for one's actions. Because a lot of us do tend to sit back and expect everything to be done on our behalf. But, you know, like one of the quotes I heard someone says, if you help yourself, heaven will help you. And how I understand that quote is you have to be willing to take the first step and face the man or the woman in the mirror.
That is so powerful. And I wanted to chat to you about, the fact that we face adversity as people. It's a given. Whether you are rich, poor, young, old, we all encounter adversities. And I would like to know from you, what do you think is the power of looking at a challenge in a different perspective? And how do you cultivate that mindset to say, this is what is happening, but I am going to look at it from this angle?
Now, we were all blessed with the gift of vision, but we were all given the opportunity to explore the gift of insight. And insight is not everything that everybody wants, especially when you're overcome by panic. Now, your situation tells you this is how it is. You don't have any food in the table. Nobody is paying your fees. He just left you. He broke your heart. But you have to choose to see your problem from a different angle, not from the angle of what is happening now, but from the angle that it will get better, because it will. Even if it does take time, it will. And the moment you put yourself in those shoes, the moment you believe, you automatically tell your life to go in a direction of what you want to believe. It's not being unrealistic, it's not being fantasy driven, but it's actually having faith. And I think we are really getting into a time in this generation where people are really losing faith because of what they see. So, because of all of the criminal activities that are happening around, Black people do not believe that they can occupy great spaces within society, but that is a lie. And that's what your situation wants you to do. It wants you to remain stagnant in a position where you think that there isn't better than this. But it is your decision to turn that vision into insight and say, listen, this might be what it looks like from a face-to-face point of view, but now I've got to look at things from a bird's eye view, where things will get better and things will go in my favor. And no matter how much time it takes, I will stick around because I know that I am destined for greatness.
So the process of you changing your perspective, is highly influenced by faith.
Yes, it is
Okay.
highly influenced by faith, and it's a decision. It's an everyday decision
Decision,
that we
yes.
take. Yes, not every day when you wake up, you're not always going to feel strong. You're not always going to feel like you need to hold on. But if our lives were entirely revolved around how we felt, none of us would make it so far. Sometimes you have to shove the, how can I say, the laziness to keep on pushing aside and say, whether or not I am feeling my legs, I am finishing this finish line, and that's it.
And I want to talk about your personal struggles that you discuss in the book in terms of being bullied, in terms of also the reality of the pressures in social media. How, because I think what I'm trying to get at is the, what does the conversation that you have with yourself in overcoming certain things look like or sound like? Because, like you say, you have to make the decision, right? To say, you know what, this is what I choose. And I think I want to get to the part where, for you personally, in the transition of, you know, seeing yourself through the eyes of other people and telling yourself that I am more than what people say I am this, I am, you know, beautiful, I am capable, you know. What was that transition like for you, the conversation that you had with yourself?
Just like my other answers, it wasn't easy, but it was very private and it was very personal. So this isn't so, I wasn't sharing it with the whole wide world. Oh no, I'm becoming more confident. No, these were these were inner battles. These were inner battles that I was overcoming every day at a time with changed habits. Other people find it useful to talk to yourself on the mirror. For me personally, what helped me is how to substitute bad habits with good habits. For instance, I had the bad habit of always pulling the edge of my jersey over my hands because I was timid about my skinny body, right? So I wanted to hide it as much as possible. But now when I wear clothes, I've decided no, I am not going to let the comments of people about how I look deter me from my own fashion abilities. I mean, I am beautiful regardless of what was said about me, and I need to be comfortable in my own skin. So I'm going to stop doing that. So it was a constant conversation I had with myself, and that transition wasn't easy
Easy.
because I was used to people talking to me, but I wasn't used to me talking to myself. See, yeah, I wasn't used to spending time with myself, evaluating what was it that I was missing to really understand what I was born for. Because I believe that part of self-care is spending time with your person and really assessing what is it about you that you can improve, what is it about you that you need to avoid in order to fully come out as the person you were born to be.
That is so powerful. and wow, I'm still taking in what you're saying. I think, wow, that is really powerful. In chapter 11, I think one of your quotes, the title of the chapter is called Seasons, Seeds and Soil. And I resonated with this so much. And we
Is
just
it? Oh my goodness. You know why I'm laughing? Because during the writing process, this was my least favorite.
What?
It was my
I think it's such a powerful chapter, and I think it resonates with so many people right now. Let me say, actually, throughout your life, you go through seasons of change, and some seasons are pleasant, some seasons aren't pleasant. And right now, we are in a season that has begets so much anxiety in people because of the uncertainty of tomorrow. We don't necessarily know what is going to happen, and so many of us want to get out of the season. So many of us are, you know, battling ourselves and are fighting ourselves. We might not be fighting externally, but within, you know, there's so much unrest. And there's a quote from that chapter specifically that says, the lessons you need to learn for tomorrow could be wrapped up in the season you're trying to force yourself out of today. That.
Wow.
You
I'm
even
listening to
shocking
that. I'm like, oh my
yourself.
gosh.
You're like, I wrote
Must have been a very good day.
Whoa. I, please help. Like, just break it down for me.
No, there's no problem. Well, I will first start with how that chapter came about. So it was one of the very last chapters of my book, and I was trying to decide what personal story am I going to use in order to motivate my audience or motivate whosoever is going to read this someday. And all that was left was my, and I say this in inverted commas, failed relationship. I say that because it wasn't really a relationship. You know these things that you go through in high school, but you can't really, you just don't remember. They can't even be talked about because it was not,
What
but
was it?
what was it? So I was like, no, why would I use this story to speak to people? And then I went back again and looked at it from a different angle, like we've been talking about. And I said, no story is useless. Every experience teaches us something, and I'm going to use it. So I did. And at the end of the day, I realized that even I was struggling to accept the moment within the journey. So I wanted to get rid of the present so that I could get to the future as fast as possible. And we live in a very microwave generation where we want things fast, and you apply today, you want the job right now, you invest today, you want to be rich tomorrow. So with that kind of mindset, we sometimes miss the point of today, the blessing of today. The fact that you're breathing is a big deal, and everything that is around you, even the things that are unpleasant, are all strategies that have been positioned to help you experience tomorrow in a better way. And sometimes I feel like we're so focused on what are we going to eat tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow, that we miss the little things that other people do not even have access to today. So I remember I was watching a very sad movie with my sister the other day, 5 feet apart, something like that. And we were just watching how the characters were struggling to breathe because they had a lung disease. And after the movie, I'm like, wow. And I can't believe I was complaining about like clothes and stuff like that. These people are looking for air to breathe. And it kind of worked in my head as in, how can I even complain about the things that I do not have, that I want to get, while I am ignoring the very important things that I already have, like the breath of life. So I think that it's very important to embrace the process. It's important to go through a process. I mean, if the rings that we wear go through them in fire, then what makes us think that we are exempt from that fire as well in the way that we live? It's what makes diamonds what they are, the pressure. But we cannot escape the pressure yet claim that we are beautiful.
Wow. I'm thinking as you were speaking, there's one thing that actually stood out for me, and that is the power of the moment and gratitude. Because like you say, that we are in such a rush to get to the next moment of our lives that we forget to be grateful for the things that are happening right now. And it's actually interesting because as you were talking, I remembered somebody once said that whenever something happens to you, ask yourself, what is this moment here to teach me? And
Absolutely.
I think that can definitely help, in terms of, first of all, changing your perspective when faced with a challenge, and also accepting what is happening. Actually, let's chat a bit about acceptance in terms of accepting what is happening, also with the understanding that acceptance and or acceptance that not does not necessarily mean that you are giving up or giving, yeah, or just, letting things happen as they chat to me about that.
So I think that sometimes life gives us bitter pills to swallow, that we do not understand why we need to swallow them now. But when our mental health heals or our emotional health heals, we will then understand. So sometimes it's important to accept things as they are, even in the confusion, certainty. But what is true is that clarity will come. Clarity is not always instant, but when it does come, you will be left out of the dark. And one of the things that I am reminded of is the balance between holding on and letting go. That's an everyday challenge for everyone. When do I know when to hold on to something, and when do I know when to let go? Well, in my book, I say that you know that what is yours when you don't have to become another person to receive it or force yourself into something. So the moment you start to notice that you have to change the good person that you are, that you have to twist your morals, that you have to be a hypocrite in order to fit a certain thing or be with a certain person, you can tell that this is something you can let go of. But the moment you know that this is worth the fight and this is what I was born to do, you can hold on to it. Now, sometimes what happens is that it switches. And even the good things that we've fought for that are worth it, we have to let go of. Not because they aren't good anymore, but because if we stick to them too long, we will think that that's where goodness ends. And one of the things that I say in the next book that you're going to read...
There's another one? What...
Hint, hint.
I'm so excited. Okay, I'm sorry to stop you. Continue.
No worries. One of the things that I say in that book is that sometimes people who go through trauma think that the next good thing is the best, but it could just be better. And you will meet the best, but because you're so satisfied with it's better than where I was, you stay there, not realizing that there are higher dimensions to tap on. So I think that the balance of holding on and letting go is an art. And once you've mastered that art, you will not be disappointed, even when you've over-expected something that didn't happen.
Wow. That is so beautiful. And it's actually crazy because in my mind, earlier today, I did not make a note of it, but in my mind, I really wanted us to chat about letting go when you know it's time to let go. And you have touched on it so beautifully. And I really just want to thank you for that. And before we close, I really don't want our conversation to end. But yeah, before I let you go, I want to know, you know, in terms of us as young people, in terms of so many things that we are encountering, in terms of, you know, so many challenges and good things as well. We're not going to pretend like life is all gloomy, you know, but I think it's those moments where things aren't necessarily coming together or things don't necessarily make sense. In those moments, you know, what is it that you think is important for every young person to know? And in terms of the journey of growth and change and development, you know, what is it that you think is very important as a takeaway point?
I know that there are a lot of typical advices that we hear every day, like keep holding on, you've got this and all of that. But for me, I would say something different as you are evolving. Don't be too hard on yourself if you weren't the person you were yesterday. But as long as that person you are becoming is just better and better until you reach your absolute best, which, and funny enough, I think that the word absolute best is, it just keeps getting best.
It's continuing, never ending, 100%.
It's never ending. So you are becoming, like Michelle Obama says. And you have to embrace that process of becoming because it is beautiful and it will be foretold for generations to come. Now, if you want to fast forward it and just get to the place where you are satisfied with where you are, with who you are, you're going to miss the whole point of a journey. And the point of a journey is to observe. Like when we go on a road trip, well, for those of us who are not on our phones all
Who actually
the
live?
time, we look out the window and we admire whatsoever is going on, and we just take it all in, and that's what the process is all about. So basically, my advice to every young person is allow yourself to evolve, and it's okay to change. Do not put the blame on a caterpillar for becoming a butterfly. There are levels to explore, and you're gonna get there.
You know, I want to hug you right now. I swear.
Social distancing, man.
I'm sorry, it does not apply to me. I will not. I'm joking. I have to. But really, every single time, Divine, and I think this is what always brings me, pulls me back to you, that every single time we sit down and we have a conversation, it always leaves me filled and just so grateful to know that there are young people like you, like me, that go through challenges, but that always use their lives for the improvement and for the betterment of others. And I think also one thing that I really, really, really appreciate about you as a person is the fact that all these lessons and all these challenges that you have encountered, you have taken and made them into lessons that other people can use, that other people can see that there is life after trauma, there is life after an ending. And I genuinely
Absolutely.
always appreciate that about you. And thank you so, so much for having this conversation with me and filling not just me up again, but also every person that is going to be listening to this conversation.
Thank you for having me. And my biggest wish for you and for this amazing initiative that you have started is that the entire world will hear about it, and that you will be, what can I say, the catalyst of Africa's greatest podcast artist.
Thank you so, so much. I absolutely appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Take care of
Thank you.
yourself.
Inside Out is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, Radio Public, Breaker, and Pocket Casts as Inside Out with Gabby. You can share your feedback and thoughts on social media at Inside Out with Gabby on Instagram and Twitter. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. Thank you for listening.